It says something about Tony's life that he is never called into work when he has nothing to do at home, but only when he has firm plans that he will get in trouble for breaking. Whether this makes his life a tragedy or a comedy, he's not sure. But when Gibbs calls his cell phone moments before he's about to walk out the door to meet friends he hasn't seen in a month, he definitely wants to cry instead of laugh. Feel like going fishing? Gibbs' question gives him pause. The spike of irritation he feels at his plans of beer and football almost certainly being cancelled is tempered by a fleeting flash of gratification that his father figure might want to spend some quality time with him. But that sounds about as much like something Gibbs would do as quitting to become a full-time member of Greenpeace does, and so he has to ask for clarification. Huh? Got a body washed up on Black Rock Island, Gibbs tells him, and the confirmation that this is not a social call puts the earth back on its axis. Round up the others and meet me at the yard in an hour. Got it, he replies, but he's talking to dead air. Irritation grows in him again, and he snarls through gritted teeth as he hangs up. A thank you would have been nice, but this is Gibbs, after all. The man doesn't waste breath on trivial things like words. He decides to delay telling his buddy he's got to cancel again for a few minutes, and instead navigates to Ziva's number. He's sure she had plans for the day as well, and he just hopes that when he gives her the bad news, the ex-Mossad officer doesn't attempt to shoot the messenger. Ziva's free, full-bellied laugh that he rarely hears but always chases greets him across the line. David. He gets straight to the point. I'm calling to put an end to your fun having. She sighs, but doesn't sound angry. You never even say hello to me anymore, she laments. The possibility of a flirty and fun Ziva lifts his mood, and he jumps on board to play with her. Son of a bitch, he mutters. What's going on? Before he tells her, he atones for his sin. Hello, Ziva. Hello, she returns, but he can hear a smile in her voice. What is going on? There's a dead body on Black Rock Island, he tells her as he walks through his apartment towards his backpack, badge, and gun. Gibbs reckons it might be a fun day out if we all went and looked at it. Gibbs needs a better social life, she decides, and then sighs. I knew I should not have gone out. I do not have my car or my bag. He would bet that despite that, she still has her gun on her, and a knife. Where are you? She hesitates before mumbling a reply. Magnolia Bridal Shop. He cradles the phone between his ear and shoulder as he unzips his backpack and does a quick check to make sure he has all the essentials. What was that? She clears her throat and comes clean. The Magnolia Bridal Shop. His hands in his backpack go still, and he lifts his head to aim a quizzical eyebrow at the kitchen wall. Ziva, in a bridal shop? He's sure the explanation will be worth the irritation of getting called into work on the weekend. But an explanation is not forthcoming, and the silence drags out for a full 5 seconds before he gives her a nudge. My silence is actually a question, Ziva. He hears a soft groan before she catches him up. Olivia is trying on dresses today, she tells him, referring to a friend she met years ago at her Taekwondo class. She asked us to come with her to help her decide. The visual of Ziva in cargo pants and combat boots on a girly wedding dress shopping trip brings a gleeful smile to his face. And how is that going, my little badass ninja? She has not found anything that she likes, she informs him, ignoring his baiting tone. She is going to kill me for leaving now. Despite mourning his lost weekend, he is now full of grace. Okay, how about I go past your place and grab your gear and then come pick you up? It'll give you a little more time and Olivia might not kill you. Her sigh is utterly grateful. Thank you, Tony. That would be very helpful. He wonders how many brownie points this will get him and what he might use them for later. I'll be a half hour. She calls out for him before he can hang up. Tony, can I ask another favor? Sure. I've had a few glasses of champagne, she starts, and he guesses the rest. One long black, coming up. Thank you. He hangs up, and as he dials McGee, he rushes back into his bedroom to change his casual t-shirt for a nicer shirt to go over his jeans. Because if he's finally getting a chance to meet some of Ziva's friends this afternoon, he's going to do everything he can to charm the pants off them. He arrives at the bridal shop half an hour later with her backpack and jacket in his trunk, her boots beneath the passenger seat, and a great big coffee in his hand. He knows she expects him to call from the car and tell her to come out, but there is no way he's giving up the opportunity to meet Ziva's friends and see her surrounded by ivory silk and lace. It wasn't on his bucket list before, but it is now. He smiles charmingly at the women at the reception desk with the perfect hair, thick makeup, and heavily manicured nails, and assures them that he's supposed to be here. The 19-year-old lets him go through reception and into the belly of the taffeta beast before her older, more alert coworker can stop him. And he walks off down the hall with the confidence of someone who has nothing to hide and is definitely supposed to be there. He passes two other bridal parties on his way down the beige and gold aisle. One group is telling their bride that she looks perfect, beautiful, skinny, and hot. The other does not mince words, with statements directed at the size of her ass, huge, and a lack of overall class. He wonders how many bridesmaids from that party will end up preceding the bride down the aisle on the big day, and suspects the answer is not many. At the end of the hall, he finds the party he's looking for. There is no bride in sight. He suspects she's behind the door at the back of the room. But six other women are sitting on white and yellow striped couches and chairs, framing a little round platform and a full-length mirror. Ziva sits on the arm of one of the couches in jeans, heels, and a silky-looking green top that he would very much like to touch. He knows it's going to be a good day because her hair is curly again and there is a slight smile on her lips as she checks her cell phone. And the two glasses of champagne she's had are bound to help as well. He takes advantage of her distraction and slides onto the arm of the couch beside her. The little jump of surprise she gives is the icing on the wedding cake. "Hi," she says, clearly off guard. "Hey," he returns with a smile. "How are things coming along here?" She smirks a little and throws a quick look at the others before giving him the grim truth. "We are compiling a long list of what she does not want." "That's important," he offers, and then passes over the biggest cup of coffee he could find on short notice. "Oh God, thank you," she almost whispers, and takes it as if it's the most precious thing she's ever held. "Do we have 2 minutes to spare? Olivia is trying on another dress." "Sure." While Ziva gulps down the coffee, he nudges her, leans in, and drops his voice to avoid possibly offending the five other women within earshot. "Hey, it smells like frangipani and silk and black Amex cards in here." She smiles and mirrors his tone. "You got all that over the $100 scented candles and real champagne?" "Ah, booze and naked flames," he sighs. "Always a winning combination." "Not to mention all the hairspray," she returns. They grin at each other, but their moment of shared mockery is soon broken. "Hello," one of the women says to Tony pointedly. When the two of them look up, they find all five women staring at them with blatant interest. It's game on, and Tony flashes the smile he uses in social situations on women he's not trying to hit on. Charming, but not over the top. The one that engenders trust and puts people at ease so that they do all the talking. "Ladies," he greets. He can practically hear Ziva's eyes rolling at his act. "This is Tony," she introduces. "Tony, this is Sarah, Maya, Carolina, Julie, and Abello." He waves at the chorus of heys that come back at him and then focuses on the blonde in the corner who he has met once before. "Hi, Julie. How's Pete?" Julie smiles at the mention of her hamster. "He's good." "So, Tony," Maya starts, and Tony tries to commit her name to memory in conjunction with her pale blue eyes. "Why are you always whisking Ziva away from us?" "Well, I'm an only child," he replies. "I'm not good at sharing." Ziva's response is to snort into her coffee while the others smile. "Beginning of another case," Maya continues, this time talking to Ziva. "I guess we won't see or hear from you for another week." Ziva shrugs as Tony reflects for a moment on whether he should get her friends and his friends together for an NCIS bitch-a-thon. "Never can tell." "Tony, let me ask you something." This is Abello, buzz cut and shoulder tattoo, who's speaking now. "Do you spend as many nights at work as Ziva does?" "More," he answers quickly, and then smiles and revises before Ziva can get her protest of the facts out. "I mean, yes, the same." Abello's next question is forgotten when the door at the back of the room opens and Olivia appears in a strapless fitted ivory gown with a black sash. She draws the attention and gasps of all the women in the room, but Tony watches Ziva as she clutches her chest and looks like she might cry. He smiles as she goes girly again and files it away to gently tease her about it later, and then takes Ziva's coffee as she gets to her feet to move closer to the dress. "I think this is it," Olivia says, and all her friends and the dress fitter who came out of the room with her nod in agreement. "You look beautiful. It's perfect. God, I'm gonna cry." "Definitely the dress," Maya says, "but I think there's a little too much boob right now." Tony can't help looking, and he finds that her cups are certainly close to running over. Can you stuff them down a little bit more? Ziva asks, pressing down on her own chest.
Olivia shakes her head.
I don't think so. There's barely enough room to breathe. You think it's an inappropriate amount of boob?
The others nod, and Abello holds up her thumb and forefinger an inch apart.
Just a bit. Perhaps another inch or two of coverage would be good. The sales assistant comes forward and fiercely woman-handles Olivia's cleavage within the silky sheath.
We could probably add another line of lace to the top here and it will be perfect.
Yeah, because if you bend over now, you're gonna fall out, Julie says helpfully, and I don't think you're the kind of girl who wants her boobs out on her wedding day. As discussion continues over how to make the dress totally perfect instead of just 90% perfect, there are degrees of perfect, apparently. Tony stays out of the way and just keeps watching Ziva. He has seen her relaxed and happy plenty of times, but he doesn't usually get to see her be herself with anyone outside of their work family. She seems different with these people, but he can't put his finger on how exactly. It's not just the heels and silky top and champagne and gasping at wedding dresses. Or maybe it is, and he's just not used to seeing her with other women. He's always had the impression that Ziva is more comfortable in the company of men because she's always been in a male-dominated profession, and it doesn't seem to bother her. But maybe that's just an occupational hazard, rather than a preference, because she really seems at home with these women, and she's certainly right into sharing this wedding event with her nearest and dearest. For a moment, he wonders which of these women will precede Ziva down the aisle when she's in the wedding dress. Then he stops the thought immediately when he gets a warm feeling in his chest. I'm sorry, but I have to go, Ziva says to Olivia with a wince. Olivia seems to have known this was coming and just nods with acceptance. Off to save the day, huh? She looks over at him. Hi, Tony. He stands up now that he's been briefly invited into the circle. Hi, Olivia. You look beautiful. Joe's a lucky guy. Olivia's smile becomes more genuine, like she doesn't actually want to burn him alive for taking one of her friends away on this important day. He watches Ziva smiling at him as well, and he doesn't know why he suddenly feels like he's passed some weird friendship test. It shouldn't matter what they think of him, right? Not really, because he and Ziva are only colleagues and friends. Or something. Maya shoots in a question before they can leave. Hey, Tony, do you think that amount of boob is appropriate for a wedding? Tony goes deer in headlights. Really, there is no way he can answer this question without getting it wrong or sounding like a sleaze. But Ziva steps in and answers for him. You definitely do not want him to answer that, she says, saving him effortlessly, and then leans over to give Olivia a quick kiss on the cheek. I will call you later. She waves at the others, but Abello reaches over to give her a tight hug before she can leave. Be safe, Tony hears her say in Ziva's ear. We will be, Ziva replies, including Tony. Nice to meet you all, he calls out as he steps aside to let Ziva go ahead of him out of the room. She drains the last of her coffee and tosses the cup into a wastebasket she spies behind the reception desk. Proud of yourself? She tosses over her shoulder with a smirk. He knows she's referring to his crashing of the wedding dress party, but she doesn't seem particularly upset about it, so he just smiles winningly. Ziva, I just wanted to make sure that you're not associating with ne'er-do-wells and ruffians. She looks him up and down pointedly. I am, Tony. Every day. Yes, he supposes she is, and he's pretty happy about that fact.